That natural man in his human reasoning, it is against the things of God on a continuous basis. You see, they're always crying out, mercy, crying out, mercy, crying out, mercy. Yes, God is mercy, and He is merciful. But you have to understand God when the blood comes off. You got to understand God when the blood is moved back and the thing is exposed. And this is why that one has got to be killed and be dead, because when there's, if we go to understanding the Scriptures here and we understand marriage and all these things, the woman cannot be bound to that man when he's dead, or vice versa. Because they're dead, there's no law that would hold them to that. So when we find that this body of death and we're dead to that thing, we're no longer held by that. We're no longer bound to that. We're no longer going to be numbered with that. It's dead. So we got to recognize this first birth as being that part of the Jew. We say Jew, we say body, we say natural. Those things all fit in one dimensional projection that we could differentiate those things and understand that. So if it's not going to be held accountable to the natural Jew for denying of the Messiah and those things, then the thing is the sin within the body of that flesh, you cannot be held accountable for it. You're not going to be held for adultery, for drunkenness, and for all those things of the sins of the flesh. You will not be held accountable for that. And you say, what are you doing, Brother Rob? Are you going to give us a license to live in the flesh? No, you already have that license. That's the grace and the mercy, the blood on the mercy. You could do whatever you want. You could frolic. You could strip off. You can go to the beaches. You could be a whoremonger. You could drink. You could smoke. You could dope it. You can have all of the pleasures of the flesh. You can have every single one of them, and you'll still feel the reign of God. You'll still feel justified in God because God has killed those things out in the flesh. You won't feel the things of those unless you're spiritual. You're not going to feel the condemnation of those things unless you're spiritual. You'll feel that it's okay to go on that because those things are dead. You will not stand before God for those things in the flesh, but it's the sin of the soul. So what happens then? What are we saying here this morning? What are those things that are happening within that flesh and body? You see, the flesh and body, brothers and sisters, is the point of where the spirits come and manifest. It's the spirits that are going to be dealt with, brothers and sisters, not the flesh. Just as the Jew isn't going to be dealt with for those things, they're going to be caught up to the throne and they're going to rule and reign with God and set up a kingdom here with God. And everything's going to go back to the Jew. Every single thing is. You see, why? Because of the mercies of God and the blood being on the mercy seat and the grace of God. But what about this body, Brother Rob? What about this body of sinful flesh? Didn't we just read right here that sinful flesh and image is going to be changed? It was sown in corruption and raised in corruption? So it's going to go through a change. It's going to go through a metamorphosis. It was sown in iniquity and raised. You understand, brothers and sisters, it's changed. It's not this sinful image of this sinful flesh that we worship, that we glorify, and that we put honor to. The honor goes to God. It goes to the supernatural, to the spiritual realms. And we give all praise and all glory and all honor to God. And if you were going to be held accountable to the sin of the flesh, that means that the Lord Jesus didn't fulfill the works at Calvary, and it means that He didn't do away with those things. Now see, there's a great revelation in this thing, and even the church world has grabbed onto this in part. But they've grabbed on it into the part where they take the blood on the mercy seat and they trample it under their feet. Or they take and turn this grace of God into lasciviousness. So we come to a revelation and say, man, I'm praise God and thank the Lord Jesus that He died for me, that He shed His blood for me. I think that blood's on the seat of atonement, and I'm thankful that I'm not accountable for the sin in the flesh. You see, but then we've got to start differentiating, brothers and sisters. If we were going to be accountable to the sin in the flesh, then we're all going to be judged and put into the flames of hell. And we'll all be cut off from God. But the Bible said that He saved you when you were yet still in your sin. The Bible said that He's predestined us before this world ever was. So then we got to start comprehending what has taken place. What has taken place? You see, it's the fall of that Adamic nature part that would put you and separate you from God. So then yet, because sin came by one man, and because the fall came by one man, and because of this all by the first man, Adam, then isn't it so great and so awesome and so beautiful to think that life came through another, the Lord Jesus Christ? So then we find that before we ever took this breath, so to speak, before we ever had a point of coming into this world and manifesting or being birthed naturally speaking, we might say, that these things were all taken care of. So we find sin coming by one, and we find the eradication, the abolishing of death by another. So then we say, well, where does that leave us? Right in between the two. Where does that make us at? Right in between the two of those worlds. You see, if the first man, Adam, was a living soul, and the second man, Adam, being a quickening spirit. And then we find this soul realm and this warfare realm right in the middle of these two things. So what are you? Well, see, I don't claim to be in the middle of those things. Why? Because the Bible says something. And it says that these people perish from a lack of knowledge. And it says that they die like mere men because of a lack of knowledge. You see, where's the lack of knowledge from? When they are learning in all their ways and they got the colleges and all the stuff and they're sending them to by the thousands and the hundreds and they're getting the knowledge and knowledge and knowledge, and we're in a day and a dispensation of time that knowledge and knowledge, they say you got to have this knowledge, but then yet they die like men because of a lack of knowledge. And the thing is you say you don't fall in there. You see, that middle realm, brothers and sisters, is a place that we use as a crossing over. And we use this place to cross over into the spiritual realms and spirit life. You see, and we don't reckon ourselves to be carnal. We don't reckon ourselves and number ourselves with this body of death. We reckon ourselves with the life and the life of the Spirit. So it's again, we go back to a state of mind. We go back to a profession. We go back to confession of speech of who we are in Him. And we give all glory and all honor to them. We have not attained anything by our obedience. We have not attained anything by our righteousness. We have not attained anything by our scripture memorization. All glory, all honor goes unto God that He has given us all things that pertain unto life. He has given us life, brothers and sisters. He has given this to us and has made a way for us. When we find ourselves switching gears and differentiating between these dimensional projections, we get somewhat, we might say, confused. And I know that confusion is of the devil. You say, but Brother Rob, I don't understand. In 1 minute you're telling us that we're not accountable to the sin that be in the flesh, and you're not. It's because Jesus already purchased and already paid for that. And He's already done it. It's already finished and conquered that. But the thing that you will be accountable to, brothers and sisters, is of the soul realm. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And the thing is when we find that these two worlds are present, then you are without excuse. You're inexcusable, the Bible says. Who has bewitched you? Nobody has. The only thing that could bewitch you is your carnal mind and the thoughts that would be of the flesh. And you savor the things that be of the flesh. And when you enter into this warfare and this travail, you know that your weapons are not carnal and that He's given you everything to war and to fight against the principalities and powers of the spiritual realm. He's given you everything. You're without excuse. He's given you the Holy Ghost. He's given you this gift freely, brothers and sisters. The power of God to overcome those thoughts, to overcome those things that war in your members, those things that are coming against you, trying to kill you and destroy you. And to take your life, He's given you power over all of that. Satan is a liar. He lied there in the garden. He lied to them. And He said, surely you won't die. And He'll do the same thing to you in this day and hour. He says, partake of those things. Eat of those things. They're good. They're pleasing to the eye. Sin for a season, brothers and sisters. You know, the Bible talks about it. You know, it looks pleasing. It looks good. It tastes good. And it would be somewhat, you would say, find pleasure in it. But it's just for a season. What is the season that it's good in? The season why the blood is still on the mercy seat. It would be good. It would seem right. But you know, when you can unveil it and when you can see it and comprehend it and understand it, it would be different. It's like I said about the cake the other day. It would look so good, but if you knew there was poison in it, all of a sudden it wouldn't be so pleasing anymore because you understood something that nobody else could see. You knew something that nobody else knew. It looked good. It tasted good. But if there was poison in it, you wouldn't want no part of it. And that's the way the things of the world are. Get your eyes of understanding opened up. And yes, it smells good. It looked good. It tastes good. You know, and all those things seem so right and so good. But there's poison laying within there. There's that poison of that ass. That poison is trying to get its fangs into you. You see, it's the love of the world, brothers and sisters, and the lust of the world that's the killer and the destroyer. We got to despise the things of the world and hate the things of the world. You say, but Brother Rob, God created this world. He made this world for us. But you see, there's been a curse that's come. It was made in a proper way and it was upright. It it was straight. And in the garden it was pure and righteous and holy. And things were right and God was well pleased. You understand that? But you see, there's a curse that's come in. It's been poisoned. It's been perverted. And if we taste not and touch not of those things, brothers and sisters, then we won't partake of that poison. But it's when we get out there and partake of it. It ever seems so innocent, ever seems so clean, ever seems so right, and we partake of it. And then that's the poison. That's the part that gets you. I remember bringing these things out, a man with lust and a man that's just eat up with this drive and the things for the opposite sex. She would ever look so pleasing and drawing, and he could feel this motivation in his members. And just carrying him away. And all of a sudden his consciousness of God starts fading away because of the lust in the members. But you see, that wouldn't be there if he would look for a moment at that individual and think, she's eat up with AIDS. She's eat up with herpes. She's eat up with venereal disease. And I know that if I touch this thing, that it's going to consume me. I know that this is a death sentence. I know that sounds so crude, brothers and sisters, but this is the perfect allegorical of the things of the world. The Bible said that the things that God hates the most. He said, so in discord among brethren, but he talked about the woman with the mincing feet. Why would he have put that right there in the seven things he hates the most? Because the woman with her mincing feet draws men. This is why we preach holiness and teach holiness in the house of God. Dress your women properly and get them covered up the old flesh. And thanks for they ain't going to be out there drawing men and causing men to sin against God. You see, if I'm a soul winner and want to teach people, brothers and sisters, to be soul winners, how could I teach to strip your women off that other men would lust after them and draw after them and find themselves in hell for those things and their thoughts? So see, we got to understand. We start differentiating between worlds. We start differentiating between these dispensational projections. And if we could understand what's happening with the natural Jew, then we can understand what's happening with this natural body. Because it all fits together. It doesn't matter when you project it through time of the Old Testament, New Testament, to the book of Revelations. You project it to you, body, soul, spirit. You've got one member that's dead. You got one member that's put aside and it's not going to be held accountable to sin because of the mercies and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by numbering it as dead. You understand that? I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It's not a fancy saying. It's not just some terminology. It's not some doctrine that we just preach because it sounds good. It is reality. It's the truth of God's Word. It's what He's done for you. It's what He's done for me. You see? And if we're dead, how can we be held accountable to the law? And the law goes to the body. You see? And it goes to that bodily perspective. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. And it was fulfilled, every jot and every tittle. And He done away with that law. What is the law? What is the law? We think of the gravitational forces. We say the law of gravity. It's something that binds you to this earth. It's something that holds you down. But Jesus done away with that law, and we broke the gravitational pulls of death and of the grave. There ain't no grave that's going to hold this body down. You ever heard that song? There ain't anything that could hold you down. Because that law of gravity and that law of death has been broken and done away with. And we come into a new one. And it's a law of the spirit life and of the spirit world. It's different than the law of sin and death. It's different than that thing that was given unto the Jews because of their unbelief. And even though that there is a death there, and you say they still yet live, they're still alive, they're still in reproduction, they're returning back over there in airplanes, they're all returning back to their own country, and there's those things are happening. Those are very allegoric to things of understanding revelational truths in this present day and time and hour. We know again it was 1948 that they got their country back over there. And there's even a scripture talking about the trotting on them by the Gentiles. And it says in that time or in that generation that He'll return. And we know that even to the Jewish promises, a 60-year generation. So you say, what does that mean, Brother Rob? It means that we're rolling down to the end. We're rolling down to the end, brothers and sisters. The time clock is running out. Even though the angel stood with one foot on the land and seen, said, time is no more. We don't look to things and understanding time because we know we're spirit creatures in Christ and we're not subject to time and the laws of time, but the natural Jew is. And the time is going to be fulfilled for the natural Jew. And that seven is going to be added back into that 483. You understand that? It's going to be added back in to fulfill that time. And that 490 is going to be fulfilled because it was promised and prophesied in the Old Testament. And it was promised there, and it most definitely will be fulfilled. And we know that time has stopped in this dispensational era of grace, even though the creatures of time are still in it. But we're speaking spiritually, by understanding and comprehending God. And if that time clock has stopped, why has it stopped for you? The wild tree by nature could be grafted in. And he turned away from that one of his own by nature, and he went to us that were wild by nature and were grafted in. And the other day we spoke about an adoption, and we speak about being born again. And we say, what are we? Well, if you're a wild tree by nature and that part's grafted in, then what are you on the spirit part? If that part's shown being grafted into something that's spiritual, what is grafted into? What you always was. So then we start differentiating between the spirit and the natural. So we bring it all back into a physical realm, into a second heavenly perspective, a projection of understanding that you could know who you are in Him. And we find this spiritual part that has never sinned, that has never fallen away, that has never been touched by the infirmities which would be of the flesh, never been touched by the things of the sinful nature, never been touched by those things, sealed in by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? Because it's one with that and joint heirs with that and partakers of that life, because it is that life. And all life emanates from Him and through Him. And He says He's within you and you within Him. You understand? The Lord Jesus said the same thing. How can you say you know not the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. The Father's within you. The Father's within me. And it's through you all. What is it saying? We're all one and the same. There is no differentiating between that, brothers and sisters. The only one that will rob you from understanding that and comprehending that is the devil and the lie of the devil. He says, you can't think that way. You can't believe that way.